This morning, we are celebrating the Lord's table together as His family. Now, one of the things I love about Christmas, more so than anything else, I love the presents, don't get me wrong. I love the food. And by the way, those of you who gave us cookies and stuff, my smile this morning is a way of saying thank you, and my waistline is saying, stop, stop. But I'm grateful to all of your gifts. I love the gifts. But you know, the thing about Christmas that makes it so special is family. Whether by blood or by adoption, families are what make Christmas what it is. Christmas is the story about families. It's the story about the first family. It's the story about how God became man. It's the story about how God created that family with Joseph and Mary to be that place where he could bring his son into the world and live in a family situation. I've often pondered that family dynamic. Jesus would have been the oldest son. How many of you are the oldest children in your family? Okay, look at them raise their hands. You know, if you can always tell the eldest child of a family, because they know they're special. You know, they're the first. I jokingly tell my siblings, I said, you know, I noticed that when I look at family albums, there's a lot of my older brothers, a lot of my for the first girl. But by the time Danny and I came along, well, you know, we're just kind of, you know, same thing, different verse at that point. Jesus was the oldest member of his family. Of the siblings. And so he was the eldest sibling, and truly he was special. Can you imagine the family dynamic? I've shared this with you before, but as he interacts with his siblings, they're always wrong. You know, eldest siblings think everybody else is wrong, but in his case, that was really the case. And we know that led to some interesting family dynamics, because when God called him to launch his public ministry there in their hometown of Nazareth, and he was doing miracles and healings, it embarrassed his brothers and sisters, and so they literally went to him and said, hey, can you knock that off? You're messing with our reputation in the community. Interesting family dynamic in that original family. And so Christmas has been the story of family since the beginning and those interesting dynamics. And this morning, Christmas is still about family. It's about the families that we have one with another around our homes, around the trees, around the family get-togethers. But it's about this family. Christmas is about God's family. And everyone in this room is an adopted member of God's family who knows Jesus Christ. And that's why we see in 1 Corinthians 11 this statement when Paul's talking about the Lord's Supper. He says that in verse 23, he said, for I gave to you that which I received, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You're proclaiming your family heritage as you partake of the Lord's Supper, because you became a member of God's family, not through your own will or your own abilities. You became a member of God's family through the sacrificial death, the atoning death of the Son of God on your behalf. And through him, you've become the adopted child of the living God. And that's why we say around here, and the pastor says it oftentimes, that's why God has lots of children, but no grandchildren. No one else can give you this gift. Only God himself can give it to you through the person of Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks of this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. If you're not a family member this morning, the word of God saying that if you were to partake of this family meal, this cup and this bread, this is talking about family and how we've been adopted into the family of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, and how through faith in him, we have become God's children. If you partake of these elements without being God's child, you are partaking in an unworthy manner. That is, you are saying that you belong to the family of God when you really do not. that God is your father when he really is not, and that Jesus is your elder brother by faith, and he is not. And so the Apostle Paul says, you should not do that if you do not know him. You know, I love people in my home at Christmas time, but I want to tell you that, and I'm sure all of you are the same way. It may be Christmas Day or it may be Christmas Eve, but there are some things that are reserved only for the immediate family. You love your friends. You love your neighbors. You want to spend time with them. But when it comes to those family moments at Christmas, those are reserved for family members only. Anyone else that comes at that time, while you may care for them, they feel like an intruder in the process. Can I get an amen on that? That there are certain things that are just for family. It doesn't mean you don't care about others. And beloved, if you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that you're not loved by this family. It doesn't mean that God has not sent his son into this world, for he has. But it does mean that this particular thing God has reserved for family. And anyone who tries to partake and who is not a family member is like one intruding into something that is reserved only for those who belong to God's forever family. And that's why you do that, you're guilty of something. You're guilty of the blood and body of Jesus Christ. You're guilty because that which he did on Calvary's tree has become is of no effect to you. And therefore, to say that you can partake of the table would be to tell a lie. So Paul says, let us then examine ourselves. Not let others examine you. It's not my place to try to look into your heart and see whether or not you truly are a child of God. Only God knows that, and you know that. But this morning, you ought to examine yourself. I ought to examine myself before we eat and drink of the cup. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is just simply bow your head with me this morning as you bow before the throne. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you answer two questions for you this morning. The first one is this: am I part of God's family? Do I really know the Lord Jesus Christ? Not do I know about him, not do I know about the manger, not do I know about Mary, not do I know about Joseph, not do I know about Christmas. I know all these things, but do you really know him? Is there really that part of you that has encountered a living, risen Christ and that you have made him Lord and Master of your life? You have surrendered your life to him that he might cause his life to live within you. That's the first question you ask. And then the second one is this: Lord, are there any barriers between my heart and your throne this morning? Like David of old, when David prayed in Psalms 37, he says, search me, O Lord, and try me to know if there be any crooked way within me. Lord, is there anything within me this morning that is a barrier, is a hindrance between my heart and your throne this morning? And if there is, then you just calmly before the living God ask that you might be forgiven. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Knock and it shall be opened. And receive that which God has for you this morning. Father and God, this morning we are bowed before you. Our hearts are before you. We are asking by your Holy Spirit that these two questions be answered. For those who cannot say yes to the first, and that the Holy Spirit's not bearing witness within them that they truly belong to you, Father, may as we partake of these elements, may they abstain. But more importantly, Father, may as they see and be reminded of the death and burial of Jesus and resurrection of Jesus Christ, may your Spirit convict them of their need for a Savior this morning, and that they might come to know him who is life eternal. And Father, also for your family. For me this morning, I ask for forgiveness and for cleansing for any crooked way within me. Father, your word says, if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me from that sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Those things, Father, which I know, and those things, Father, even which I do not know. your spirit is able because you're faithful to your family to do that which makes them right with you. And so this morning we ask for forgiveness and cleansing. We ask for humility and brokenness before you. We ask that we may partake of this table, not with hands that are filthy, but hands that have been made pure, not with hearts that are empty, but with hearts that have been made full by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this morning, Father, may you glorify yourself as we partake of these elements, as we do so in remembrance of him who came that we might have life, and that life more abundantly. We honor you and we thank you and we glorify you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, where we will be reading, you will see what we call the institution as Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And you read these verses. You read beginning in verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body. He is the bread which came down from heaven. He is the manna by faith consume his body, become part of the living body of Christ. We are his body this morning, and those who know him by faith are symbolizing that we have become unified. We have become part of this living, resurrected body called the church, which glorifies him who is its head and founder. And so this morning, as our deacons come, we will take and we will eat of this bread. And we will proclaim that we are his body, the church, living in this world that was bought with a price.
Lord's Supper harkens back to when the Lord would deliver the children of Israel from the hands of their Egyptian captors and in bondage. And it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as they called it, because it was the reminder that God came quickly into their midst to deliver them from the bondage of Egyptian slavery. And it's also made without leaven. Throughout the Bible, leaven is a symbol for sin. Jesus called himself the bread of life, which comes down from heaven. Without sin did he come and die on Calvary's tree. Without sin, he came and bore our sins in his body upon Calvary's tree. And just as those of the days past did not know when God was going to show up, only that God would do something mighty when he did. We did not know, the Bible says, when he showed up. In fact, the Bible says literally this: he came to his own things. His own things didn't even receive him. But when he showed up, he changed everything. And that's why when we take of this bread, we are reminded of the reality that God delivers from sin in the person and work of his Son. Therefore, Father, we ask you to bless this reminder of the forgiveness that comes in Jesus Christ. May you bless it, and may you remind us every day of the price you paid in your Son that we might have life. And God's people say, amen. Take and eat. This is my body. And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to each one of them, saying, drink from it, every one of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. in that Exodus moment, the last plague that visited upon Egypt was the plague of the death of the firstborn. And Moses commanded the people to take a new spotless lamb, slay it, collect its blood in the basin, and dip hyssop in it, and strike the doorposts and the lintel of their homes. Hyssop is just a reed that, when they bundled them together, made a crude paintbrush. And as they would dip it in the lamb's blood, and they would strike the lintel and the doorposts, the blood would drip down. And the Bible says that when the death angel would see the blood, he would pass over that house. It doesn't take someone of too large an imagination to realize that when you strike the lintel, it is the vertical axis of the door. And the door posts are the horizontal axis. It is a picture of a cross. That the blood flowing on that cross would cause God to pass over and forgive the sins of his people. And they were spared the righteous death that they deserved because of their sin, because of the blood of the spotless and sinless Lamb. And we who are his children are so because of the blood of the spotless Lamb. That's what Jesus is saying. His blood is the blood of the new covenant. He shed his blood on Calvary's tree. The vertical axis of the cross is Jesus making atonement to the Father. The horizontal axis is the reality that in him that we have forgiveness and a new standing with one another as well. We become his family by the blood of the new covenant. And he said, therefore, drink from it, all of you. For this is shed for many for the remission of sin. And by the way, it is the only way that sins may be remitted. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so Jesus commanded them to drink from it. And so this morning, until he comes again, Maranatha, drink from it, each one of you. And God's people say, amen. And then in verse 30, he says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This morning, we will be singing a hymn of invitation. Those who this morning may be looking for eternal life in Jesus Christ, you have seen the gospel. For the gospel is the message of the good news of God, that in Jesus Christ, we might have our sins forgiven and a new relationship established with the living God, not as aliens and strangers, but as his adopted children, as part of the family of God. And if you've never met the Lord Jesus this morning, then what greater present could you receive than the present, the gift of eternal life? If you've never met the Master, this morning we would love to share with you how you can know the God who changes lives and who makes the dead come to life and the alien and the stranger to become part of his family in the person and work of his only begotten Son. Maybe this morning you're looking for a church home and you sense this is a place where God would have you make your life count. If you sense that this morning as we sing this hymn of invitation, we invite you to come to make a public statement that you want to join this family and be a part of this family of God and to be a part of what God is doing in this community through this church. Maybe this morning you just want someone to pray with you. It's been a tough Christmas season. You've been dealing with a lot of issues, maybe been walking the guilty distance, and you just want to come and kneel at the altar and fresh and anew take time to be with the Father. Someone will pray with you and stand beside you. We have a saying, if you're our guest, no one comes to God on their own. You come to God as your Father through Jesus Christ, and you come to these altars with the family of God praying for you. As we stand around the room, Heavenly Father, this is your invitation. We give it at your behest. And Father, may the grace of God, through the power of the Spirit, allow people to make those decisions they need to make public to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together.